So I want to have us look at the storyline of Paul that we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 27. In Acts chapter 27, we're at the point in Paul's life where he's on his way to Rome. He has gone through three different missionary journeys up to this point, spreading the gospel to primarily Gentiles, but also Jews. And he had come back to Jerusalem with a gift from God's people, the church. And he was wrongfully accused of a crime, of having a Gentile in the temple. And he was arrested. And long story short, he goes through all this time in prison, and he appeals to Caesar as a Roman citizen to have his case heard in Rome. And so Paul is now on his way to Rome as a prisoner. And they put him and Luke, the writer of Acts, and some other followers of Christ on these different boats. And they're taking this journey from Jerusalem by ship to Rome. And it is at a time of the year where winter is approaching. So it's probably mid-October at the earliest. We know that because earlier in chapter 27 of Acts, it talks about how the feast is over. And the feast is referring to the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, which is late September, early October. Kind of like Easter, like it doesn't have the same day like Christmas. So it kind of fluctuates. And so they know the feast is over. It's a time of somber celebration, Yom Kippur, of a time of repentance, of reflecting. And so that feast is over. And they're on their way. Winter is coming. The weather is not cooperating. They've had a bunch of different stops. They've changed ships. And they're on their way, and a storm has picked up. It's a northeaster. Cyclone, tornado, whatever happens on the water, I don't know. It's a bad storm. And they've been in this bad storm for a few days now. Now, before they got ready to sail, Paul, a prisoner, says to the guys making all the decisions, "I don't think we should go. I have a bad feeling about this. I think not only will the ship go down, but I think we're going to lose our lives." And the people, "You're a prisoner. We don't listen to you." And they went. Sure enough, they're in deep trouble. And so we're going to pick up in verse 22 of chapter 27. And we're going to see from here to the end of the chapter what takes place. "Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land." Oh, I'm in the wrong verse. Look at that. 22. This is what you get when you get a text on Wednesday morning as you're getting ready for work. Let me start over. Acts 27, verse 22. And so Paul is speaking. And he says, "Now I urge you to take heart." So he gets this word from the Lord. "Now I urge you to take heart." He's talking to all the people on the ship. "For there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men. For I believe that God will be, that it will be just as he," oh, I can't read today. "For I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island." Have you ever been in a situation that you've never experienced before? And thinking of maybe not a good situation, a troubling situation. I can think of a lot of situations that I've never been in before. First day of school. Brand new situation, short in length. I remember my marriage, my wedding day coming up, April 30th. Yeah, I know it. She knows I know it, I just do that to get the laugh. And I remember being in the back of the pastor's study of the church where we got married. And I knew I was supposed to show up before Kelly. And I remember, I'm doing this. And I had one question. Has Kelly showed up yet? Never been in that situation before. It was a little nerve-wracking. I knew I wanted to marry Kelly, but there was a little bit of a doubt that maybe she was going to bail on me. But she didn't, and it made me very happy. But it was a situation I'd never been in before. There are a lot of situations, good and bad. Just about every single vacation Kelly and I take, there's a situation that happens where we're heading someplace that we know we want to try to find, but where we are and where that is, you just never know how long it's going to take us to get there. There have been times when we even do a day trip and Kelly's like, hey, I want to go here. Okay, let's get in the car and go. And we'll pull out of the driveway, get on the road, and I'm like, do I go right or left? I'm not sure where it is. Do you have the address? Nah, we'll find it. And we do, somehow. We will spend time on our vacation looking for something, driving up and down, going, I don't know anymore where we are, and I don't know where we're trying to, or how to get there, but we know the name of the place. And so, you know, once in a while, maybe I'll stop and ask, where is this? And you always find the person that's also visiting that area that doesn't know, and the next person doesn't know the area, and that happens to us all the time. Hey, can you get... No, because we're just as lost as you are. For some reason, we must look and sound like the people that live here. But I know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's like to feel like I don't know what's the right next move, because I don't want to make it worse. I want to kind of make it better. And then there's times where can we just like stand still and do absolutely nothing? Maybe that will rectify the situation. That's not typically the answer. So is there a situation that you've been in where you're just kind of at a loss, or it's a new situation, or it's an old situation with new people or different circumstances? We probably all can think of a time where we're in a situation and we're not 100% sure what to do. I think this is where Paul's at. We know Paul has been through shipwrecks before. Certainly these sailors have been through storms before. But it seems like, as we read this portion of Scripture, that this is a pretty intense storm. And they're being blown off course, and they're finding themselves in an area where they're not recognizing their surroundings. They don't know exactly where they are. And Bill Hybels, who then Derek took his stuff and passed on to me, said there were a couple different key points that as we look through Acts chapter 27 that we can take and make application. So the first one is grab onto a promise from God when you find yourself in that situation that you've never been before, or you're just confused, you're lost, you're not sure what to do, where the burden just seems great. I think of that young girl whose father was arrested. Her life is in turmoil, not because of her choices, but because of the choices of the people involved in her life. And there's a storm raging right now. And sometimes, isn't that true for us? We find ourselves in a storm that we have not created, but others around us have created, but we're still in the storm. Remember, Paul said, let's not go. Paul didn't have a choice. He was a prisoner. He was put on this boat. He knew something bad was going to happen, but he had to go. But Paul hears from God. And God says, Paul, you are going to make it to Rome. And all the people on this ship are going to survive. So in verse 22, and Paul's addressing all these sailors and his companions, including Luke, who's recording this, saying, do not fear, take heart. We're going to get through this. There are some promises that I try to cling to when I'm going through a rough season. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The second part of that verse is, God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That's a promise we can hold on to. No matter what we're going through, whether we've created the storm or someone else has created the storm that we are in, God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and I will make your path straight. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. All the things are our needs. These are promises that we find in Scripture that God says, hey, when you're going through troubled times, hang on to my promises. We know that the worldwide flood in Noah's time, and God put a rainbow in the sky to say, this is my promise that I'll never destroy the entire world again by flood. It's a promise of God that we can hang on to. When I'm going through a difficult time, with my family right now, we went through a difficult time with Kelly's family earlier this year when her father passed away. It's looking for those rainbows. Saying, God, this is tough. This is not fun. This is not easy. I need to see the rainbow. Where are your promises? And I remember laying in my old bedroom at my parents' house because I was staying over helping take care of them. I just remember laying on this tiny little bed. It was pink. Wasn't my bed growing up. That's thrown away a long time ago. But I remember laying there at night and just I'm crying. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. Just make it stop. But I know you're here. Then that verse, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I realized this life isn't everything. There's an eternity for those of us in Christ. For those of us who said, yes, Jesus, I know I don't live up to your standard. And I accept your salvation, the promise of Jesus. He went to the cross on my behalf. And he died in my place. And you raised him up from the grave 3 days later. And if I put my faith and trust my whole heart to him, I'm asking you to save me. Save me from my sin. And I can have a home with you in heaven. And I realize eternity, I have no idea what's going on. Eternity is waiting. In fact, eternity started the moment I said yes to Jesus. And so as I'm laying in my old room, waiting to see if they tell me what to do. Keep going, okay. And I'm laying there, maybe it's Satan trying to mess up where we're going. I remember laying there just saying, this is temporary. At some point, this will end some way or the other. Trust me. Situation didn't change on the outside. But inside, I started to have hope. And I think that's what Paul was trying to communicate to these sailors. I mean, there is hope. Yeah, it looks bad. Yeah, we're in this storm. It is not stopping. Hang on. There is hope. Let's all pretend we know what's going on. We'll wait. We don't know. Just stay like that, Buck, the rest of the service. Maybe that's it. Thanks, guys. So when we're going through a storm, put our hope in God. Put our hope in the promises of God. As I was praying, my phone's off, but I have it pulled up for this. There's a hymn that I remember singing when I was growing up, Standing on the Promises. Verse 2, standing on the promises. You thought I was going to sing. Yeah, right. I practice. It's not pretty. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to stand on his promises. We can find his promises all over this book, or your book, your Bible. It's filled with promises of God to us. Sometimes those promises are spoken to us from a fellow believer that maybe is quoting those scriptures, or it's in a song, or somehow God speaks to us through his creation. But we need to hang on to these promises. So when you're going through something you've never gone through before, you're going through a storm that seems familiar, but it's still a storm, hang on to those promises from God. I shared in Sunday school this morning that I'm struggling with hanging on to the promises of God right now. I know they're there, but the emotions inside of me and the things that are running through my head, it's a challenge right now. I remember saying to Kelly yesterday, I just gave you this advice this week because of the storm you're going through. And I know what to say, but I'm having a hard time applying it. Because now it's really, it's impacting me because it's happening to my wife, her storm, but this is my storm that I'm feeling differently. And it's her storm too because she's in it with me. Don't misunderstand me. But I was struggling last night. Saying, God, I'm not walking in your peace. I'm getting angry, I'm getting frustrated, and I'm not keeping my eyes on you, and I'm acting as if you're not in control. I'm acting as if you're not going to see us through. I'm trying to learn how to stand on these promises from God. So, moving on, verse 28. Skipping down. Well, let's go back to 27. Now, when the 14th night had come, so this storm is raging for 2 weeks, and we were driven up and down the... This sounds familiar. This is where I started. We're driven up and down the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. Keep on losing my place. 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. A fathom is about 6 feet. So at first they took a sounding, it was about 120 feet, and then it was about 90 feet. So the second application is, when you're going through the storm, and you're standing on those promises, take soundings. Where are you at? Maybe that's what I started to do last night. I am not living out my faith in a way that gives me peace. So I'm off course internally. I can verbalize all the right things. I can go to those scriptures, but I need to now directly apply them. And I had to take a sounding. I had to say, where am I? What's my situation? In other situations, it's been, hey, you guys have gone through something similar. Can I get your advice? How did you cope with this? How did you get through? It's taking a sounding. It's getting more information. It's finding out from other people, where are we at? Where am I at? So we stand on God's promises. We take soundings to figure out where are we. Because these sailors are saying, hey, we sense, I don't know how you sense there's land, I'm not a sailor, but we sense there's land, so they start doing, they drop in the anchor and see how far down it goes, and they're saying, we need to figure out where we are in relation to the land. And that's what we have to do. Where are we in relation to where God's at? Where are we in the situation? Are there others that can help us? Take soundings is the second. So picking up where I just got done reading. So verse 29. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Ever do that? Nighttime? Your mind's going, you're like, well, I just need it to be daylight for some reason. I've been there. And they were praying for day to come, as if day wasn't going to come. I don't know if they're waiting for the sun to come out, that meant the storm was going to stop, or they just wanted morning. They were tired of being in the dark. I'm not sure, maybe all those things. They dropped 4 anchors from the stern, and they prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they when they had let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion of the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. Then as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continue without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is your survival. Since not a hair will fall from your head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food for themselves. When we're going through the difficult time, if we're taking a look at what are some practical applications, don't forget to eat. Don't forget to keep yourself physically fit. I know when I was taking care of my parents, I was skipping meals. When I was in a tough position at my job a bunch of years back, it was a new leadership position. I was working tons of hours. I was eating poorly. I was not exercising. My blood pressure started to rise. I had at the heaviest I had been in my life. I had stopped taking care of myself physically, and it wasn't a good thing. Paul is saying to these men, yeah, you've gone 14 days without food. That's not good. You need nourishment. There's real practicality here. Don't forget to eat. And it's not junk, but like, you know, eat well. You need to sleep. When we're going through it, practically, we need sleep. We need to be restored. We need to be refreshed. Sometimes sleep can be elusive. We need to eat. We need to sleep. We need to exercise. Very, very practical stuff that we can apply. Paul, in this moment, is saying, you've gone 2 weeks. I'm hungry now, and I ate like 3 hours ago. 14 days. Seriously, Dan, I am hungry. God, I think, is very practical, and he's saying, eat. Don't neglect taking care of yourself. It's only going to make matters worse. Eat. Whenever I say that, I always think of the Christmas show where Santa's wife's like, "Eat, Papa, eat. No one likes a skinny Santa." That always pops into my head. Always. Nothing to do with this sermon, but it pops into my head. I need to get it out. I just lost everybody. So there's physical things, but I think it's also we can take the jump and we can say there's spiritual disciplines. When we're going through it, when we're not going through it, you know, they say either you're getting ready for the storm, you're in the storm, you're coming out of the storm, getting ready to enter back into a different one. There's spiritual disciplines. I think every time I preach, I talk about these spiritual disciplines. Pray. Pray on your own with God, talk with God, pray with somebody else, pray with a group of people, write out your prayers. This week I've been saying my prayers out loud because I have a focus issue. If I keep it in my head, my mind wanders. But when I pray out loud, and I do it at home when no one else is, when Kelly's not there, so no one's thinking I'm crazy. I might be crazy, but yeah. So, and I've been praying out loud. I've also been singing some hymns and songs because no one's going to correct me when I'm way off tune. I know, but no one else. But I'm praying. Reading scripture. A lot. All the time. These are disciplines. If we don't know God's word and his promises, when we're going through it, we're not going to be able to recall those promises. Kelly's got this devotional, Jesus Calling. And I flipped it open this morning to see what it had to say, and I was going to bring it with me, but I forgot. Because it talked about promises from God that I hadn't written down when I was preparing for this. I'm like, oh, these would be good, and I left it at home. So it's there, though. Jesus Calling, April 2nd, some good stuff. There are promises from God, but if we're not in his scriptures, when we need that, it's not going to be there. Now, do we just read the Bible so we have something when we're going through tough times? Yeah, but we also do it for other reasons. It's life. It's the Word of God. It's a light unto our path. That's Scripture. We need to be in fellowship with one another. We need to be doing this. We need to be continuing meeting together, saying, God, who are you and how do you want me to live? That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have midweek services. That's why we have prayer meetings on Tuesday nights. That's why we say, let's get together. Let's do coffee. Let's do dinner. We need each other. We need these spiritual disciplines. For some, it's fasting. It's fasting from certain foods or from food for a certain length of time, or fasting from my TV show so I can spend more time reading Scripture. These are spiritual disciplines that help us connect to the Father through Christ. So I've been trying to lose a little bit more weight. Again. And it hurts. I said to Kelly, come up with because she likes putting together like workout routines. And I said, like a 20-minute, you know, baby step type thing. So she puts together pretty basic, but let me tell you, the next 4 days, oh, that hurts. I was in so much pain because I hadn't done any type of physical activity in a while. Yeah, I did 20 push-ups or sit-ups yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, big deal, right? But for me, I was like, I did it and I'm not dying. Felt a little bit right here. I don't know if that's normal. It hurts at first because I've not been doing it. You're not reading your Bible? Yeah, that first 3 minutes is going to feel like forever. You haven't been praying? That first couple minutes, your mind's going to go. We've got to develop these spiritual disciplines. And what I've learned is, doesn't matter how many times I've read the Scripture, doesn't matter how many times I've prayed, there's more to learn. There's more of God to understand. There's more of His peace. There's more of His understanding that I can take in. I am never going to arrive. That was a little quick. I am never going to arrive, right? And so, why do I think, oh, I can ignore Scripture for a while because I've read it. Like, I know what it says. So now the challenge is, I know what it says, stay focused. Right? There we go again. So, spiritual disciplines, physical disciplines. Home stretch. Look at this, flipping the one page over. So, when it was day, verse 39. When it was day, they did not recognize the land. They didn't know where they were. But they observed a bay with the beach, unto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile losing the rudder ropes. And as they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore, but striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. So I don't know anything about sailing or boats, so boat stuff is getting stuck and waves are hitting it and it's breaking apart. They did stuff. Okay, that's my understanding. And the soldiers' plan, in verse 42, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those that could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. So, if this is a four-point sermon, one, hang on to the promises of God. Two, take soundings, get information, get advice. Three, keep eating physically, keep eating spiritually. Four, swim or grab a plank. I always want God to miraculously take me from the situation and put me someplace else. And He always says, oh, there's things you have to do, buddy. There's things that you have to do. This is not a get out of your situation free card. Because there's things you have to do, I'm going to grow you. You're going to find out that you're maybe more grounded or more stronger than you think. I'm going to grow your character. I'm going to help you develop this character trait. You notice throughout this whole storyline from Luke about this experience that Paul and he went through is that the sailors were doing stuff to try to correct their situation. They were throwing things overboard. They were some that were trying to escape, which is not a good thing, but they had to do something to help make their situation better or to get through the situation. God doesn't always say, I'm going to make everything disappear. I'm going to make all your sorrows. In fact, he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He doesn't always remove us from the challenges that we find ourselves in, but he'll walk with us through those challenges. Not because he's being a jerk, but because he loves us and he wants us to grow. I was in a men's Bible study years ago, and there was a pastor that would say, God's more concerned with your character than your circumstance. I didn't like it when I first heard that, because I like comfort. And I want God to be more concerned about my circumstance, which means make my life easier. But God's more concerned with our character than our circumstance. He's going to use these trials, these troubles, these challenges to grow us if we allow him to grow us. I can't think of a person in Scripture that we read about that had it easy, that didn't have some type of struggle they had to work through to get them to where God wanted them to be as a follower of Christ, as a believer in God. So that's a hard lesson. Yeah, God wants us to do something while we're going through it, to grow us, to grow our character to become more like him. So when I was laying in my old bedroom on that pink bed, instead of hating the fact that I had to be there, God said, your parents served you pretty faithfully while you were growing up. Now it's your turn. Serve them. And it was what I needed to have that little bit tiny of attitude adjustment where I was tired, I was cranky, I was exhausted, I was fearful. But all of a sudden it was, I don't have to do this, I get to do this. Now, like 4 hours later, I was right back and I don't want to be here. But in that moment, I said, I need to keep going back to that moment of going, I get to do this. Now, that may not apply 100% in all of our situations where we're like, I get to do this. But when we're thinking of how is God going to use this situation to grow me? Am I going to allow God to grow me through this difficult challenge? Through this storm that never seems to end? I know, I'm looking out at different ones of you, and I don't know everybody, but I know enough of you to know enough of your story that there are storms raging in your life. And for some, it feels unrelenting. It's like I'm coming up for air one more time, and I'm breaking the surface of the water, and I'm gulping for that air, and then it feels like I'm going back down. I know you're going through it, but you're going through it with God. And God will help you get through. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I mean, this ship broke apart. They had to get in the water. They had to swim. They had to grab a plank. I know in my life, I'm trusting that God is going to get me through, even though I don't know what that means. I don't know how the story is going to end in the storms that I'm in. But I know God's going to walk that through with me. Hang on to a promise of God. Take soundings. Keep up your physical and spiritual strength and do something. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, who would have thought a shipwreck could give us lessons about who you are and how you want us to live? Thank you for men that have gone before me and have fleshed this out, that I'm able to take what they've gotten from you and share it this morning. Lord, we are going through different storms, individually, family, work, friends. You know what those are. Different storms for different ones of us. Lord, but we know that you love us. You want us to stay close to you. Lord, give us a desire to know you, whether life is easy right now or it's tough. Give us that passion to know you, to trust you. Help us to walk these things out in a way that brings your name glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.